As we begin to look at the foundational principles of what we believe in the Primitive Baptist Church, we first need to lay the foundation for not just what we believe in the Primitive Baptist Church, but what we believe in Christianity. And we believe that the God of the Bible, that exists in three persons, Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, the Jehovah God of the Bible, is the only God. That He is the God and there is none else. You see, God makes that claim for Himself all throughout the Bible. Isaiah chapter 45, and in verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. You see, there is none other God but the Lord. And this is arguably the most important question, because all that we believe about the Lord is written in the Bible, in the Scriptures of the Word of God. But there are other people throughout time that have claimed divinity, and they have their own books. Allah has the Quran, and many other people have many other different books. So what places the Bible as the only authority for who God is and what the standard of truth is here in this world? It is because it is the Word of God, and it's the Word of the only God, the only one true and living God. God affirms this so consistently all throughout Scripture. He is the only God. There is none else. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. Now, God is eternal. God does not have a beginning point. He is not like a king that assumed authority at a certain point. One king passes away and another king takes his throne and he assumes authority. There's a period of time that he gained that authority and there's a period of time he will lose that authority. But God is eternal. God is from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God, we're told in Psalm chapter 90 and in verse 2. God claims He is the I am that I am. He does not have a beginning point. He does not have an ending point. And there's no God that had preeminency before Him. There's no God that will have authority after Him. He is the only God. Isaiah 43 and in verse 10, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. So there is only one God, and it is the God of the Bible. There are not many gods. It's been very common with man in his ignorance of the gospel message to lend and gravitate toward polytheism. Poly meaning many, theism referring to gods. And typically, man would believe that there is a God for the sun, and a God for the river, and a God for the trees, and a God for fertility, and a God for the animals. And there are multiple gods that all have a certain level of authority over individual aspects of our lives. But Christianity affirms that there is not multiple gods that have limited authority. There is only one true and living God that has total authority. He has total sovereignty. And that God is the God of the Bible. He expresses Himself through the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament in the Bible. And God unequivocally claims that He is the only God. And we're not going to take the time to quote all of the plethora of Scriptures that affirm the exact same thing that God says consistently. I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no other God before me. Now, it's very unique in religion to claim that there is only one God, because men have gravitated to more of a polytheistic mindset. Typically, there are multiple gods who have segmented authority, but instead we claim there is one God that has total authority. Something that is distinctly Christian, that is very unique to the Christian faith, is that we believe there's one God, but there is one God in three persons. 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now that does not mean that God is three individual gods. He's one unified God, but He's in three persons. He also does not just manifest Himself in three different modes or in three different roles. No, God is truly one God in three distinct persons. He is the I Am, but he's also the one in three, but at the same time, three in one. And certainly this is very challenging for us to understand as finite beings, but the scriptures consistently affirm that God is one God, but yet still three persons, a singularity, but yet a plurality in the Godhead. And that is one of the reasons why 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 7 has been so egregiously attacked by those that have attempted to corrupt the true Textus Receptus manuscripts and the King James Bible that affirms that verse. But even though they've tried to take 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7 out of the Bible that clearly affirms the Trinity, it's actually replete all throughout Scripture teaching of the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. We're told to baptize in the name of the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. And there are many other places in Scripture as well that we don't have time to consider that have all three persons of the Godhead together in the same passage of Scripture. Notice this in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is one Lord. Now, the word Lord there is in all caps in your King James Bible, and it means Jehovah. And the word God there means Elohim. Now, Jehovah is the proper name of God and describes a singular form of the noun. Elohim is a plural form. So this literally reads in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and in verse 4, the Jehovah, our Elohim, is one Jehovah. Which is interesting because Jehovah is singular, but Elohim is plural. So it's almost like the Lord is saying, Jehovah, my singular one God nature, our Elohim, in three persons, the plural form, is still one Jehovah, right? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 22, the Lord God said, behold, man has become as one of us. So God is speaking as a unified God, but yet he's using a plural noun, our image, our likeness. He was made as one of us. So God is eternal. God has always been God, and God has always dwelled in this Trinitarian essence. He's been one God, but he's also been three persons throughout all of eternity. And I can't really explain it beyond what the Bible simply says, that there is one God in three persons, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Even though I can't understand it, doesn't mean that I can't believe it. We're told in Scripture that even the heaven and the heaven of the heavens cannot contain God, a God that's so big that his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways, as far as the heavens are above the earth, so is God's ways above our ways. A God that is spiritual and eternal cannot be understood by natural, finite men while we abide here in this world, not perfectly. So it shouldn't be surprising that a God that's so big that the heavens of the heavens can't even contain God, that my little bitty mind can't contain the full essence and character and nature of God either. But just because I can't understand the Trinity does not invalidate the teaching of God's word that affirms it. And I believe that there is one God in three persons. Again, as 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 7 clearly affirms, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. But even though there are three distinct persons in the Godhead, these three are one. They are one God. And as we've already said, he is the only God. Now, one of those members of the Trinity is described as the Word. And that Word became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. The Word, and in your King James Bible, that is a proper name. Word is capitalized. In John chapter 1, the same Word is described, and it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the same God that is described as being the second person of the Trinity in the Word was in the beginning with God, and the Word was God. So the Word was God. But that same Word that was God in John chapter 1 and verse 14 was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So the same Word that was God and with God before the foundation of the world, that created everything that is in the world that we see, that same God, that same Word is God and became a man. So Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. Now remember, God is from everlasting to everlasting. God did not add in a member of the Trinity when Jesus Christ came into this world. No, the Word became a man for the purpose of saving his people from their sins. In describing the eternal priesthood of Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 7, comparing him to Melchizedek, Jesus is described as being without father, without mother, without descent, neither having beginning of days nor end of life. That sounds a lot like one that is eternal, right? Nor beginning of days, nor end of life. He didn't start all of our lives. We have a beginning of days and we have end of life. But God is eternal. God is from everlasting to everlasting. And remember, there's no God before him and there's no God after him. There's no person that got added to the Trinity halfway through creation. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. And there are many people that even try to take the label of Christianity today that have denied the eternal divinity of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as the Word of God. Well, that same Word that was God, that is God, that was in the beginning with God the Father, that same Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then finally received up into glory. Now, that is a mystery. It's a mystery of godliness. It's a mystery how God could take upon himself the form of a man and still retain his divinity. How could a God that inhabited time still be in heaven with God? Jesus affirmed that during his ministry. He was a man on earth, but at the same time, he was still in heaven with God. Well, God is eternal, and God can dwell in more than one place at one time, which in ourselves as men, certainly we don't have that ability. And it's a mystery of the manner in which Jesus became a man. But at the same time, it was a mystery, and it's a great mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. At the same time, it's a mystery. It is still without controversy. It's not open for debate. It's not open for your opinion or controversy. No, it is without controversy that God was manifest in the flesh. In Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 9, we are told that in Jesus Christ dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Word of God, when he became flesh, he retained his 100% divinity. He was still 100% God, but he was also 100% man. Now, how is it possible for a man to be 100% God and 100% man? That equals up to 200%. And there's no 200% man, right? Well, that's the mystery of godliness. But at the same time, the scriptures consistently affirm that Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. He had to become a man to die to save his people from their sins. But yet at the same time, God cannot die. God's eternal. And that's why Jesus laid down his life. No man could take it from him. Why? Because he was God. No man could kill God. Instead, God, because he loved the people so much before the foundation of the world, he chose to become a man. He chose to come into this world and inhabit time to lay down his life for the people that he loved. Now, also, the unity of the Trinity was not severed when Jesus became a man. He said during his ministry, "I and my Father are one." He desired in John chapter 17 for his people to be one as we are one. So Jesus was not demoted from his divinity during the period of time that he became a man. He retained his divinity and he was still one in perfect unity and harmony with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit as he became a man here on this earth. So again, there is one God. And one God in three persons, and the second member of that Trinity of our one God became a man for the purpose of death to save his people from their sins. But Jesus Christ was God from eternity past, and certainly Jesus Christ retains his divinity for all of eternity future as well. Now, we also believe there is one God, and that one God created all of this earth in six 24-hour days in one consecutive 144-hour period, just as Genesis 1 and 2 affirms from the Word of God. Now, this is consistently presented in Genesis chapter 1 that the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, the Jewish day began in the evening, and it was very evident to the original Jewish readers of Genesis that that was denoting a consecutive 24-hour day. The day began in the evening, it concluded in the morning, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And then so on and so forth through the sixth day. All things were made by God, and He created everything in this world. All things were made by Him and for Him. Now, the Bible tells us how this world came into existence. The Bible tells us how man was created. But we wholeheartedly reject the false theory of evolution, that man has evolved over billions of years to the state that we're in today. Evolution is not science. Evolution is just a false theory. Science is observable, repeatable, and verifiable. And there's no one that can validate by a scientific experiment and observe, repeat, and verify the theory of evolution, because it's not science. It is just simply a heretical theory that was presented by Charles Darwin, an atheist, and has been wholeheartedly received by, unfortunately, many people here in this world. Evolution is a blatant falsehood. There is no random Big Bang that created everything that we see. There's no person that can look at the creation and honestly say that there is not an intelligent creator behind this creation. Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 to 4, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, and their line goeth out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. There is not a single day, there is not a single language that creation does not testify to the glory of God, and creation does not testify to the glory of an intelligent designer and an intelligent creator. And that's why those that don't believe in God, that look at the testimony of creation and say there is no God, that's why the Holy Spirit calls them a fool. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. Because there's no person that can look at all of this creation and say that it just happened by chance. That's foolishness. And that's why the Bible calls the person that believes that a fool. Now, it's amazingly distinct in religion to believe in one God, and certainly in the Trinity. But it's even more amazing for the Christian faith to present a God that actually loves his subjects. The majority of gods that have been fabricated or come up with in history are tyrannical and evil gods that you have to make sacrifices to appease them to where they do not chastise you. The idea of a God that is loving is just incomprehensible to people in Islam, because Allah is not a loving God. Allah's not God anyway. He's just a blatant falsehood by a false prophet Muhammad. But the idea that there is a God that is holy, a God that doesn't change, remember God is eternal, He's immutable, God is totally sovereign as well. God does His will and does exactly as He pleases among the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? God is perfectly holy, and there is no one that has the ability to stay His hand when He desires to do anything. So God is perfectly sovereign, right? God is sovereign. God is holy. But the God of the Bible is a God of love that He chose in the amazing message of the good news of the gospel, that this God that doesn't need anything, that God that is perfectly sovereign, that is perfectly holy in and of Himself, He also has a character of love, that those subjects that chose to disobey His law, He chose to give the most precious commodity in the entire universe, which is the blood of His only begotten Son, to save those people from their sins. God is a God of love. And that is why we have the Bible. That's why we're preaching on the radio. That's why we have any good news to share, is because God is a God of love. And He loved a people before the foundation of the world to such degree that He allowed the Word, the second person of the Godhead, to become a man for the purpose of death, to give His life for all of the elect. And what a privilege we have to worship that God today. Now, there is one God and there is none else. And He is the God of the Bible. And Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. In Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that is why Jesus Christ is to be worshipped. That is why Jesus Christ is to be served here in this world. And God is sovereign. He is the only God. But that is also why the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, of the Word of God in the Holy Bible, give us all of the standard for absolute truth here in this world, is because there is one God, and that one God inspired His Word. And because God is the only God, and because God inspired His Word for us, we believe the Scriptures are the only source of truth and absolute truth here in this world. And that is why we hold the Scriptures as our only rule of faith and practice in the church, in the world, and in the lives of all of God's people, is because there is one God, and the standard of that one God is penned for us in the Word of God and the Scriptures of the Old and the New Testament of the Holy Bible. And the rest of the things that we will consider in what we believe in the Primitive Baptist Church and in the Lord's Church is based on the Word of God, is based on the Scriptures being our only rule of faith and practice. And the reason why we place that high value upon Scripture is because there is one God, and that one God inspired absolute truth and inspired it and preserved it for His people in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament of the Holy Bible, that we would know how we ought to live and also have a glimpse into the holiness, the love, the mutability, the eternal nature of our God as we abide here in this world. We hope that you can stay with us as we continue this series, but until that time, we pray the Lord will richly bless you in the study of God's Word, and we hope that you can praise and exalt this beautiful, majestic, only God that exists in three persons, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And we pray the ministry of the Holy Spirit will abide with you today, especially as we attempt to worship Him in spirit and in truth on this Lord's Day, as we worship the one true and the living God. May God bless you.